Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendel, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it on the YouTube if you always want your daily Going In Raw notifications.
Yes.
Also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got a bunch of great friendos watching this right now in the form of a live stream as it happens. And that's part of the $5 a month Patreon reward tier. We have a huge number of reward, or a decent number of reward tiers, not a huge number. We got $1, $5, $10, $20, $50.
Sufficient.
And then a $200,000 one.
Yes.
Yeah. Which nobody's ever done.
Wonder why.
Oddly. We're still here.
I mean, it's a great reward. I will finally too sweet Steve.
Yeah, on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be insane if you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so we're there. We're also available wherever fine podcasts can be found. We have a great partnership with CastBox.
Yes.
Be sure to check out the CastBox app. Let me check. See, so yesterday I was trying to get us to 500 comments.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see how many comments we have now.
Well, how many comments? Nonetheless, whether we achieve
466, that's it. We only got 30 more comments.
Well, still a good amount.
Look, man, all you got to do is, it's completely free. It's very easy. Download the CastBox app on iOS or on Android. Subscribe to Going In Raw and then leave us a comment. And we might respond with, thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendo.
Let me take a look. I'm going to
take
a look.
Here we go. Conrad Warren. Normally watch you guys on YouTube. I figured I would give the audio format a try. Also, congrats on getting into StarCast. Thanks, friendo.
Look at this.
Thank you, Conrad Warren.
Von Eric. Road to 500 comments. Quick question for Larson. You book a hotel and they offer you a free upgrade, but it's for suite number two. Do you accept the two suites?
I would accept the two suite. It's not the hand gesture.
He says yes and thanks.
Thanks, friendo.
There we go. See, look, I've done that right there. Anyways, that's CastBox. We're also available on the iOS podcast app and anywhere else good podcasts are found. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. This is my Allison. We're not selling Allison chain shirts.
No.
What do you got going on under there?
I have my Seth Rollins.
We are not promoting our own stuff.
We can't do it all the time.
No. Anyways, also, we've had a couple.
That's a good shirt. I like that shirt.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's Jar of Flies, the album cover.
And yet this morning on the way here, I was listening to Soundgarden instead. Still, it's all a big family.
They were all, Chris Cornell was on the previous EP, Sap. He was on one of the songs.
I didn't know that. So you learn something new every day.
Right. That's the song. It's a good song, too. You should check it out. You've never heard Sap?
I don't know. I probably have.
It's the acoustic one before the Jar of Flies.
I don't really know the names of the songs or albums or anything. I'm more a Soundgarden guy than an Alice in Chains guy, but I do like me some Alice in Chains. Is somebody controlling my computer right now?
Seemingly.
Yeah, anyways.
Is Soundgarden your favorite grunge band ever?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good.
Probably Nirvana is number two.
All right.
And then, sad to say, Pearl Jam is probably number three. If Pearl Jam had gone away after
Yield,
if something tragic happened, if they crashed a plane and they had to eat each other,
mm-hmm.
they might be my number one just for legacy.
Yeah.
Or they might have eclipsed Nirvana.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nirvana's really good, though.
They were really good.
I don't know, man. Look, I'm not going to rank things. I love them all. Nothing but love in my heart.
Yeah.
You know?
We kind of do that for a living. We did for a while, and we're doing that still now, ranking things, so.
Yeah, I got to get away from that. No more. Countdowns are going to, on the weekends, are going to change to just love fests.
10 things we like, unranked.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
10 great things. Could be more, could be less.
Yeah.
You know?
You ever listen to Mudhoney?
Yeah, a little bit. Can't really get into it.
Okay.
It sounds like, I don't know, it's missing that one thing. It's missing the special thing.
What's that?
It's intangible.
All right.
It's missing, you know, the Kurt Cobain thing.
Okay.
The Layne Staley thing.
It.
the Chris Cornell thing. I mean, so I'm just naming lead singers.
You don't like the front man.
Yeah, basically. Right. Basically. Yeah.
Mark Arm, that's his name.
Yeah, you know, Mark Beat Feet. How about that?
No,
get out of here.
But honey's good.
Yeah, all right. Well, did they ever die?
No, they're still doing stuff.
All right, that's probably terrible, though, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
I really don't listen to Grunge much anymore.
Here's the thing about the $20 Patreon, Mark, though. Look at that. Friendo care package. Comic book stickers, poster, postcard, all signed by you and I. It's got the old logo, though. I don't know what to do about the Friendo care package. Like, we've got new logos now, and this care package is all about the logo.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
New care package.
How about this? Next time we run out of postcards and stickers, we just revamp the postcards and stickers.
Okay, so I thought about that. I thought about revamping the Friendo care package, right?
We can't do the comic book because...
The problem with that is, the problem that I don't like about that is that then the... Are the $20 patrons who already got there? What if they're completists and they want the new stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know what to do then. What, I got to send out a bunch of more stuff? I can't ask them to do another. I don't know what to do. It's a pickle.
It's a conversation to have, that's for sure.
It sounds like a really annoying conversation to have. I don't really want to have that conversation. So I just sort of bury my head in the sand, like I do with a lot of things. You know, relationship issues, taxes. I just ignore it all.
World events.
World events. That is legitimate. I don't concern myself.
Well, you say that, and I'll be over here doing something. Look over, and you're reading news on CNN, so it's not like you really adhere to that.
Well, you know, junkies, it's not always, you can't just go cold turkey most of the time.
But you've been saying this for like 6 months.
Yeah, I know, man.
And you're still, every now and again, you'll show me something. You still get breaking news headlines from the BBC. You're not ignoring it completely. I think you like to say you do, but you don't.
It's my goal. It's Prime Steve is completely ignoring world events.
Oh, wow.
But I'm always trying to get there. It's a process.
See, I'm the opposite. I want to learn more.
No, man.
I want to learn more about why the world's so messed up.
It just makes me... Why? It's misery. It's misery.
I just like to educate myself, man.
There was a story the other day about a lady, and we saw a video of this.
Oh, yeah. She threw
poo. Who went to Tim Hortons. She didn't just throw poo.
Well, she pooed on the floor and then picked it up and threw it.
She dropped the most violent in-demand poo I've ever seen. I've never been able to just, like, whip out my butthole and, like, do it as fast as this.
I said, we watched it. It was like she went in there with a poo on deck.
Oh, that was a turtle head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fully waiting for an excuse to poo on the floor and throw
and
it.
And then she just threw it. It was like Gigi Allen status. That lady's my spirit guide now.
Yeah.
So... You know, I'd rather learn about that because that makes me laugh.
That's the kind of current events you
want
to stay.
That's the kind of current events I want. Nefarious stuff you can find
on the way over
Reddit.
Here. All this last week, I've been listening to a podcast about news and stuff.
Oh, I listen to Caliphate.
That's good.
Dark, but that's more because of character study stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good
character
study.
It's a fascinating
character
study.
Oh, my God,
it
is. Yeah. But, dude, every time I turn on the news now, I get that dude on there. Just the asinine things again.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
They're all in the comments. I didn't say his name. Let's talk about 205 Live, huh? They went to England.
Yeah.
Tyler Bay, you sound like you're from London.
Well, he is from England.
Actually, he doesn't. He sounds like he's whispering all the time.
Yeah. He's a low talker.
Tyler Bate is definitely a low talker. So there are only two matches on this freaking show.
But it was fun.
No, it was fun, and they were both fun matches. We had they're in England. Tyler Bate versus TJP versus Ken, so it was a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Kenny Williams versus, of course, Kalisto, who, if I'm not mistaken, is from the Leeds area. No. He's from John O'Groats. That's where he's from, which is, I think, the southern tip or the northern tip. Land's End to John O'Groats. That's one tip to tip.
All right.
That's what that is. Did you know that?
No.
It's from one tip of the landmass to the other.
According
tip
to Wikipedia,
landmass.
He's actually from Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, he was born in Chicago.
Can we go to his childhood home? Is that a landmark now? When we go to Star? Oh, we should mention this.
Oh yeah, we should.
It was finally made official yesterday.
We're all in.
We're gonna. Well, yeah. It's a Starcast, a different thing.
Well, it's in conjunction with our all in. We're all in at Starcast. We'll be at Starcast all weekend long. We got a table. We're going to hang out, say hi. We'll have some stuff that you can buy if you want to. But more is just a location for us to hang out, say hi. Anybody that wants to come up, say hi. We're going to think of some interactive activities to do with friendos, you know, assuming we have time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be hopefully a full-on friendo experience going on at Starcast.
I want to try to get some friendos on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. My favorite, I kind of want to do this too. My favorite, because, you know, I used to do comic books. Like, I used to try to self-publish comic books.
Oh, really?
In other words, it was like, I just tried to make a money pit for myself.
Yeah. Have you dug yourself out of that pit yet?
Well, yeah, but I dig new pits.
All right.
I've dug new pits since then. I had sort of a comic book acquaintance, Ken Nudston, who used to do a comic called My Monkey's Name is Jennifer. And the reason why I like Ken so much, and he wouldn't know me if he saw me, but I remember him vividly because I went up to his booth one time and I was like, oh, wow, your artwork's really cool. He's like, oh, thanks, man. You want a shot? I was like, sure. And he was like, here, got some vodka, poured a shot, poured one for himself. I was like, thanks, man. I'll buy your book. I didn't even have to buy his book. I was just like, oh, thanks. I'll buy it now.
Hmm.
That's what I want to do for StarCast.
Well, I don't think we can do that.
It's like, hey, how old are you? 19? Good enough here.
No, we might try to set up a little gaming area, something like that.
Yeah. Smoke out.
No.
Want a cookie?
No.
Maybe a little piece of brownie?
No.
Want to get high as shit with the friendos?
No.
No way. Probably not a good idea.
Terrible
wink,
idea.
Wink.
If awful idea. No
if
wink.
If you're listening to this in audio form, wink, wink.
No wink. Terrible idea.
Anyways, Tyler Bate, he's no longer in the punishment pile, by the way.
Doesn't seem like it.
We got a Tyler Bate iPhone promo, which, like you said,
low talker.
He's a bit of a low talker. Yeah. You should check out Trent Seven's Instagram feed.
Yeah.
It's all him and Tyler Bate in very fancy clothes, various parts of England or the world, I guess, because Mustache Mountain goes all over the place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they look very, very chic, very nice.
That's neat.
Anyways, he looked very nice here. He was
he's a dapper dresser.
He's definitely a dapper fella.
Kenny, I like the beard he's growing.
Yeah, he looks great. Kenny Williams also debuted or also had an iPhone promo. This was, I believe, his WWE debut.
Correct.
Was he in the UK tournament? I don't think
no.
He was. He's in the next one though. They announced a bunch of names for that,
mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
We'll cover that more on Dirt Sheet tomorrow.
Okay. When are they announcing the final eight? Is it tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's soon. Anyways, Kenny Williams seemed happy to be there.
Yeah.
TJP is always good, and Kalisto is always fun.
Mm-hmm. They're that fun spot. I like when they do these multi-man matches with TJP, and he tries to get everybody into submission holds. Mm-hmm. And there's that spot they did during this match where he had all three of his opponents in some sort of hold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not believable in the least, but it's entertaining.
No, but it's great.
Yeah.
I feel like submission wrestling is the new power wrestling. I feel like a lot more people are going to submission.
Yeah.
Thanks to guys like Zack Sabre Jr., mm-hmm. Drew Gulak.
Even going back further, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, of course. Pioneer in many areas that Daniel Bryan was.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, Tyler Bate got the pin on TJP after Tyler Driver 97, which is one of my favorite named finishers.
Yeah.
And it was great. So good for him.
It was a fun match.
I can't wait for that UK show.
Why are you hesitant to say it was a fun match?
No, I wasn't hesitant to say that. Mm-hmm. I was already moving on to the I'm two steps forward ahead of you.
He just kind of said, oh, yeah.
No, it was a great match. It was fun, a lot of fun. Next one was too. I really hope they pull the trigger on this stupid UK show already. There's so many great names out there, so much great talent,
mm-hmm.
as we saw in this episode. So anyways, next up we had backstage, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali talking over their game plan for how they're going to handle things. They had a match coming up next against Joseph Connors, James Drake, who has like the best and worst denim jacket I've ever seen, and Drew Gulak, and then their partner, Alexander and Ali's partner, Flash Morgan Webster,
making his
debut,
yeah.
Shows up wearing like 8 layers of clothes.
Yeah, he has a giant coat plus his like a suit jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot.
He said, hello, fellas. Flash Morgan Webster here.
His helmet.
He says, now there's a bit of Flash in WWE or something like that.
Yeah.
The Flashes or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, aren't you hot? He's like, cold blimey, it's
huge parka.
It is freezing in this arena.
Massive parka coat. Plus,
glad I brought my
a sports coat,
my Scuda helmet, to make sure everybody knows that my gimmick is Mod Guy from the 60s.
Yes, I am Mod Man.
I have a great, I have a terrible Flash Morgan Webster. Or is it, does he go by Flash Morgan Webster or Morgan Flash Webster?
I think it's Flash Morgan
Webster.
Okay,
that's what I thought too. I have a story about him. I was at PWG. You were there.
Uh-huh.
I was waiting in line for a lot of water.
Yeah.
Because it's very hot.
Yeah, it's very hot in the building.
He was hanging out. It was when everybody's selling their merch. He was hanging out, I think, with Zack Sabre Jr., maybe.
All right.
Anyways, he was just chilling there. Yeah. He was on the show the night before. It was Ebola, right?
Yeah.
and I'm wearing my Pete Dunne shirt. He looks over me, very charming, says, and you know, I love the Brits because I used to live there. Mm-hmm. He looks over, he says, "Bruce await." I just said, "Yeah, he's great."
And you knew it was Flash Morgan Webster.
Yeah. Didn't say, "Hey, man, you should come on the show sometime. I got a wrestling show. I'm a big fan of yours. I used to grow up in England. What part of England did you grow up in? Man, I got a bunch of great England stories. I went there for my honeymoon. It was fantastic." I didn't say any of that.
You could have had a real conversation with him.
But he threw me off by saying, "Bruce awaits." And I said, "Yeah, he's great."
When I bought the shirt from Zack Sabre Jr., I asked if he wanted a bottle of water because he was like pouring sweat because it was right after his match. I was like, "Hey, man, you need some water or something?" He's like, "No, I'm good."
Yeah, no. Well, I don't have those kind of skills, man.
Oh, okay.
My people skills involve me putting my head down.
That's funny because you think it'd be the opposite.
Right! Usually I'm good with people. Yeah. Usually I'm very good with people.
Usually I'm not. You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I didn't know. Usually I'm just used to people coming up and saying, "Hey, Steve, too sweet. I love the show." No, this is somebody who's coming at Bruiserweight. I was like, oh.
Better sharpen up those skills. We might have to for StarCast, man.
No, I'm just going to, that's going to be lockup cast for me, man. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be anti-social cast.
Man, I got to do that, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
You better keep me well fed with Italian beefs and Chicago pizza then.
You're just going to fall asleep if I do that.
No way, man.
You're going to be all like, you're going to be.
Coffee.
You're going to be burpy and you're going to be.
And farty.
Exactly.
Especially if you give me coffee.
Yeah.
Doubly so.
Coffee and cheese pizza.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to bring a lot of Tums.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. Anyways,
I'm gonna make our booth a fart box.
No, but I was real. So I saw Flash's debut segment in GIF form before I actually watched 205 Live, and I was very happy about that.
Yeah.
That was very cool. So anyways, this was a terrific match. This was so much fun. This is one of those matches where halfway through it, there's just bodies laying in the ring all over the place.
And then Flash got busted open because his belt broke.
Oh, yeah.
Suplex from Gulak. His belt broke, and it looks like the buckle might have hit him in the mouth. He starts bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. Lots of great stuff going on here. I like Joseph Connors. I like Joseph Connors a lot. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff, but whenever I have, it's
really
good.
He used to be champ in What Culture Pro Wrestling, right?
I believe so, yeah.
He had a program with Drew Galloway, now Drew McIntyre.
Still disappointed, though. No local hero.
Yeah, no Joe Hendry.
Although, I think, does he call himself the prestigious one now?
The Prestige.
The Prestige?
That's his faction.
That's his, but I thought he calls himself the Prestige. I don't know what he is.
A local hero was such a great nickname.
I know.
So good.
He's a legit stud, too, man. Yeah. He's a legit wrestler guy.
I know. Isn't he the Commonwealth Games or something like that?
Oh, I think that's already over.
Oh, all right.
And
he got announced for that.
He got out in the first round, I think.
Well, still, it's a pretty decent accomplishment to make it that far.
I don't see this guy in any games. No Commonwealth games for Steve here.
Anyways, finish saw Mustafa Ali get the hot tag from Cedric Alexander. Hits a tornado DDT and a 054 and Gulak to get the pin. It's interesting they had Ali go over and not the champion, Cedric.
Yeah, I know. It is going to be like a massive trend. You know, 205 Live wasn't like number 13 in the ratings this past week. I think it did worse than a week old Bruce Pritchard show.
Episode.
That's bad. Or it almost did. I think that was like number 14. That's really bad. So they need to shake things up a little bit, man. And I feel like a good, solid heart and soul feud again, lasting several matches, culminating with Ali picking up that title.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling that Buddy Murphy's going to get that belt before Ali does.
Maybe. I'm just saying, look, if they want to fast track something that could be really hot. I like Buddy Murphy, don't get me wrong. But if they want to fast track something that's really hot. I felt like there was some interest leading up to Mania.
Oh, yeah.
With those two guys. I feel like they can just revisit that if they want to maybe try to pop some ratings.
What they could do, too, is have Buddy Murphy pick up that belt. And then you can have Cedric and Mustafa feud kind of to become the next number one contender, but have it go back and forth a couple times. You know, like Cedric, obviously, he'll have a rematch, and Mustafa's saying, "I'm the only guy here that's beat Buddy Murphy."
Yeah.
So I think I deserve a shot at him.
Yeah.
They can feud for a while. Winner ultimately goes on to face on Buddy Murphy, and that could help, you know, have Buddy have a reign of at least 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
While those two guys feud for a while, and then have Mustafa Ali pick up the belt, I don't know, like Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think that'd be great.
No, I know, man. I just feel like they need to do something soon. I don't know what it is. They got to mix things
up. But also,
up
I don't want them to be strictly reactionary when it comes
to
how
they tried to do that before and it didn't work.
Yes,
you're right.
Book the show. So if they have a plan and a vision, then they should see it through and see if that bears any fruit in terms of increasing the viewers.
It's also been a little out of whack. Like, they've been doing a lot of like stuff lately. You know, they just went to England, obviously. They had the shakeup going on. They had a lot of stuff going on, but I feel like they need to get back on track with stuff.
Well, I mean, it helped them when they had that tournament, because who doesn't like tournaments?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Everybody likes tournaments.
I feel like they should continually do something where people are chasing something. That's sort of the point of wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, that was 205 Live. It was fun. We got some cool UK debuts. Hopefully we'll get that UK show soon after the next UK tournament thing.
Yes, next month.
From Derby.
Well, that's where the first round is, and then it's in London.
It's at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about that place is the Beatles played there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where John Lennon had a pretty funny quip about royal people. I don't know. Anyways, NXT. Oh, this is a fun episode. This is a blast.
Undisputed Era is the greatest thing going in wrestling right now,
possibly. If you are not following Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, whoever actually tweets out their daily, seemingly daily Undisputed Era travel vlogs.
Oh, man. It's
travel vlog promos.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. It is the best thing in wrestling right now. I love it so much. However, it started with Johnny Gargano's music coming in. And then we got a big swerve from Tommaso Ciampa coming down. No, it was actually him.
No, I know, but it was the swerve is you got Gargano's music, and then Ciampa.
Another. Okay. Ciampa comes down. He starts dropping a promo saying that, you know, yeah, I lost, but look at where Gargano
is
now.
He lost the battle, but he won the war.
There you go. And then Candice LeRae.
Walks down the ring.
Walks down.
Says, you lived with us for 2 years. We brought you into our life. You stood with us at our wedding. And look what you're doing. You're tearing us.
And Ciampa's.
Why?
Ciampa's reply was great. He was like, you know, as I was standing there at your wedding, I was looking at you thinking, what does she see with this? And then she slapped the living crap out of his face. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Saying that Johnny Gargano is just a little child, basically, saying that he's crap.
Well, he also said that Candice wore the pants in the family.
Yes. That was awesome.
And then she slapped the hell out of him.
I thought it was great, man. I thought it was so awesome. And then he did his wave thing
and rolled out of the ring.
Come on. Let's get an intergender match.
I know.
Takeover. Come on. Candice LeRae versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, that'd be great.
Who wouldn't want to see that? That'd be fantastic.
Candice goes over.
Not going to happen. So yeah, she goes away, he goes away. Next up,
he did his wave thing first.
Yeah, he did the wave thing. Next up, we had Time Traveler Lacey Evans taking on somebody named Brandi Larson.
Lauren? I think they said Lauren.
Lauren? Yeah, but Morrow doesn't always pronounce. He's Idolo. He doesn't always pronounce things correctly.
I mean, Lauren sounds like fancier.
Morrow calls everything the last shot, so I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know about
him. All right, Brandi Lauren or Lauren, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, Lacey Evans picked up a pretty easy win. She's got a name for her finisher, that punch.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Woman's Right.
Again, harkens back to, you know, the olden days. So that's good. I like time traveling. I think it's great.
Lacey Evans' moonsalt looked really good, too.
Oh, I know. It was cool.
That's a great-looking really cool. moonsalt.
Yeah, people liked it.
After the match, Lacey Evans goes up the ramp. Kairi Sane comes from backstage, attacks the heck out of her, beats her up a little bit. Lacey Evans flees, and Kairi does the periscope thing.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm looking for you, Lacey Evans.
That was cool, man. That was cool.
Next, we got a brief Aleister Black interview. He was walking around in the parking lot, it looked like, after dark. No sports coat, but he had his dress shirt and his vest on. And pretty much saying, you know, if Ricochet wants a piece of the me to get the NXT title or Velveteen Dream, go ahead.
Oh, that's right.
And he mentioned, you know, Velveteen Dream and his history and whatnot. So it was a short but effective promo. What?
Brandi Lauren is Ava Story. I've heard that name before.
Yeah,
I've never
too.
Actually seen her wrestle before, though.
Okay.
Because she looked familiar. And then somebody mentioned in chat saying, I can't believe they don't know who she is or something like that. And then I was like, well, we don't know everything.
Yeah.
So anyways, no, I like this Aleister Black interview. Because, like you said, he was walking. It was dark. Where is he going in that dapper suit of his on the campus? Then he passes by like a bike rack when he's leaving.
Yeah.
I really, really wanted him to get one of those bikes
Hop
out.
On a bike, yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
All right, time to go make my
It'd be great if it was, what do they call the bikes with just one wheel on it?
A unicycle?
Unicycle, that'd
have been like an old timey.
Yeah, if he just hopped on that and rode off.
Hold on a second, like a clown unicycle or like an old-timey one with the giant wheel and then the smaller one?
I guess the clown one, but I don't think it's necessarily just for clowns.
I like the old I like the old-timey thing, though. I think that'd be great.
All right.
Like the dead, like he's going to ride through the thoroughfare.
Yeah, through a thoroughfare, yeah. Either or. Either an old-timey bicycle or a unicycle.
I have to go do inventory on my ice cream.
Yes.
I can't be bothered with all this title shot stuff.
Next, Dakota Kai press conference. Interrupted by Nikki Cross.
Yeah, that was great. Nikki Cross was doing her own. She was one of the reporters.
Oh, yeah, she had her own phone
out. She had her foot, like Nikki Cross, squatter insanity, has a freaking iPhone.
At most, she should have a flip phone or something like that. You know?
Maybe off camera she just stole it from somebody else that was holding it up.
That could be.
Anyway, she was giving her own motivational speech, essentially, to Dakota Kai, saying, get over your fear and fight. Fight! It was fantastic. Dakota Kai looked even more scared than she did before. Now she has crazy Scottish lady yelling at her. So that was awesome.
That was great. Next, we had Velveteen Dream versus Ricochet. If this is what's to be expected when they actually have their full-on one-on-one match. Wow. This was tons of fun.
God.
Great character moments, great storytelling.
I know. That bit where Ricochet did his superhero thing where he flips over and does his thing as Velveteen Dream
slides
is
in the
sliding
ring.
Backwards
oh,
in the
so
ring.
Oh, so good.
And they're both like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
So much of that stuff was so great. You're right. I cannot wait until we get their
full feud. This match, right as it was about to get going, Lars Sullivan gets in there, destroys both of them, and says, I want that NXT title.
Yeah. What the heck? Was this... Hold on a second. In the first place, was this the number one contenders match?
Not officially.
I don't think officially it was. So maybe he should have just waited his turn.
Maybe.
Because next week, he has a handicap match.
Against Ricochet and Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because in a little bit, so we'll talk about what happened. Well, next was Kona Reeves and Raul Mendoza. We'll get to that in a second. But after that was Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. Ricochet was outside Regal's office.
Yeah, he's
he was doing the polite thing by knocking
on the
door. Saying, Regal! And then Kathy Kelly, I think, comes up to him and is like, hey, what just happened? And then he said, this is messed up. I want
a piece of Lars Sullivan.
I want a piece of Lars Sullivan.
Enter Velveteen Dream, going to Regal's office because he, too, wants a piece of Lars Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually decide to go in to Regal's office together.
Together. I like Ricochet
opened the door
for him.
Allowed Velveteen Dream to go through first.
Yeah.
So.
I just wish we had a camera in there the entire time, cutting back to Regal, like, what are they doing out there?
Who's going to come into my office?
Can I eat my lunch now, or are they going to come in and bother me? What's going on? It's my lunch break right now. He has a scheduled lunch break. Anyways, so in that noodle, we had Raul Mendoza versus Kona Reeves match.
Kona Reeves had a new jacket. It looked pretty cool.
It had more fluffy stuff.
It had some fake fur, and it had the finest embroidered on the back.
Yeah. I'm still not entirely sure. They keep on bringing up his vague resemblance to The Rock. Like, they say, they mentioned, so I saw this before, I noticed it before, and this time, Morrow said something about charisma, like, something about The Rock. And I'm like, I get it. He has a very vague resemblance. He's like the SpongeBob meme that is like used to like when somebody says something, they put the SpongeBob meme up and they write in different capitalization the same thing, meaning to mock somebody. He's that version of The Rock.
Interesting.
He's like a weird bizarro looking version of The Rock.
Yeah.
I kind of see that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really get why he's the finest.
No, I don't know either.
Because on top of that, every match he's had, like as the finest, he's not even the finest guy in the ring because Raul Mendoza was doing a bunch of cool stuff.
I know. Raul Mendoza is really good.
When is he going to get his rebrand? Why didn't they rebrand Raul Mendoza as the finest?
Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
What if he starts dressing all dapper, gets some new
cool
gear? Raul Mendoza. That's a great name, Raul Mendoza.
Yeah.
He could be like a different take on the, because they just lost Andrade Almas, Step in Raul Mendoza to do his own take on, the party guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know. The character of the finest, Kona Reeves, is still so ill-defined.
I still have no idea.
He just says, I'm the finest.
I even watched an interview with him after the fact And he still didn't really define why he said, he just seems like sad or mad. He's like, I try to make friends here. I try to make friends with NXT. And I was like, well, number one, that's the name of the promotion. It's not a person.
It's not a person.
It's not a guy named NXT.
No.
And he's like, I try to make friends with everybody here. And so evidently people just don't want to be his friend. And so he's mad about that.
But does he think because they don't want to be his friend because he's the finest?
I think he didn't make friends and then elected to become the finest.
Oh, like,
even though nothing has changed
after the
about
fact, he crafted a rationale why people didn't like him because he was.
I guess so. Yeah,
he was better than everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
that's a weird take on the psychology of his character.
Yeah, he needs something
else
better because
we just need to know his motivation.
Yeah,
and what exactly makes him the finest. Usually NXT is so good about defining their characters.
He's overcompensating. So he's overcompensating for being in tons of debt.
Could be.
That's going to be his thing.
That could be.
I don't yet have the finest credit score, but I can be the finest in the ring. Nobody will rent me a car. No, nobody will finance a car for
me. I know.
Me.
My credit might be in the 500s, but... Up here, my wrestling skills.
but my wrestling record is in the 800s.
It's 875. after the Ricochet Velveteen Dream bit outside Regal's office, we had a Heavy Machinery iPhone promo.
Okay, this was the worst iPhone promo I've ever seen in my entire life. Because you know why? Because they went from selfie, because Tucker Knight went from selfie camera trying to do this. Trying to do this, and everybody's freaking head was tapering down the corner of the frame. I was laughing my ass off during this thing. And then Otis was just saying shit that didn't make sense. Anywhere, anytime, next week. And I'm like, well, you know what time it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be during the 1 hour NXT block next week.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not anytime, and it's not going to be anywhere because they're going to be at Full sale.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
This was terrible, but I was cracking up the whole time because they were just walking through the Full sale, which they always do in these iPhone promos.
Yeah.
And they're just like muttering stuff about Mother's Day and steaks and how they like their steaks prepared. And then TM61 shows up and the iPhone whips around and you barely see like TM61's head kind of hovering in frame. Oh, man. I was cracking up. Anyways, they said, yeah, you cheated. You're cheaters. Anytime, anywhere, next week, exactly at Full Sail. That's what we got. Anyways, next up was a fantastic match. What a main event this was.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
I did not see it. Luckily, I was very glad that this was not spoiled for me because I was thoroughly surprised at the outcome.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
But it was very necessary, and I'm glad they understand that the Undisputed Era can totally eat a loss like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it did so much for Danny Burch and
Ronnie
Larkin.
Well, and also, I think it enhances the story of Undisputed Era, where you have Roderick Strong just come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly as Redragon were a tag team for years and years and years and years and years, and they had this chemistry that was undeniable.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, they're still developing that chemistry.
You're absolutely right. I like you. You're absolutely right. I really like that that's playing into the story because that was a pivotal moment of the match towards the end.
Yes, there's a spot where there's a move where Kyle O'Reilly would hit the axe kick, and then Bobby Fish would hit another move. So Kyle O'Reilly did the axe kick, and then Roderick Strong was going to drop a knee, and Kyle O'Reilly ended up hitting him inadvertently rather than, I think it was Danny Burch who got out of the way.
Yeah.
That led to the finish of the match, yeah.
I love that wheelbarrow
DDT they did for the finish.
It looks great.
Yeah.
That looks fantastic. And it was kind of similar, although obviously in a much less goofy way. The B team's victory on Raw, this reminded me of that. It was like, oh, wow, these guys have worked so hard. You know, Danny Burch just got signed to an actual
full-time deal,
which is fantastic. So I really hope that because you and I have both said for ever since they even teased being a team when they had their series of matches, they could be supremely over.
Oh, yeah.
They could be super over.
Oh, yeah.
You get a couple guys who everybody knows they are overlooked. They work the hardest. They always put on great matches, and there's nothing flashy about them. And people really want to root for that.
Mm-hmm.
They really do.
Yep.
I love those guys.
And Danny Burch ended up getting the pin on Kyle O'Reilly after that wheelbarrow DDT.
Yeah.
Fun match.
That was fun. We got shocked Adam Cole at the end. Oh, this was so much fun. And I love too when I think it was Lorcan was the first person to go up to Pete Dunne and like kind of half hug him or, you know, chest bump or whatever. And Pete Dunne just went like this. He's like, get away from me. I don't celebrate things.
I know.
I'm not a celebratory type.
There's a spot where Roderick Strong was working over, I think, O'Neill Lorcan at one point. And it cuts to Pete Dunne while Roderick Strong's talking trash and Pete Dunne just snarls at him.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I love
it. Doing that. It was great.
It's so
great. He's so understated.
I know. He's one of my favorites. Man. I'm really looking forward. I want to see Pete Dunne mixing up with all of his UK guys. I really want that UK show.
Would you like to open some mail?
Now we're going to talk about it tomorrow on the Dirt Sheet. I'm sorry, on the Going In Raw Friday show.
Dirt Sheet.
But with all that freaking TV money they're getting.
Oh, yeah. I know.
There you go.
This is from No Regrets Nate. We'll do this real quick before we answer questions.
Sounds good.
Oh, it's a photograph of some sort, I think. Ooh, letter. Would you like to read
letter? I'll read letter.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
Oh, wow.
It's a Bruno.
Oh, dear.
Bruno Sammartino autograph photo on the other side.
Oh, man.
Bobby Heenan.
Look at
that's
that.
That's incredible. And then he made a sign for Steve to put in his cubicle. Mayhem prohibited area.
Oh, that's not going to my cubicle. That's going in. That's going to be in the front. That's going to be on our door.
No, that's going in your cubicle.
Mayhem prohibited area. That's going on the door.
I prohibit that from going on the door.
On the door.
Man, that's incredible. Look at that. Bruno.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Let me see.
Heenan. Gotta get that one framed.
I'm probably going to tape it up here.
Well, tape it up there.
Why not? Oh, it's a certificate of authenticity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just get another one of these and then tape the actual sleeve up there, but not the picture.
Tape, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, like that.
What is that? That? There?
But not the actual picture.
We just
picture.
Need, because it's the freaking stupid lights.
Yeah, there's glare, I know.
It's glare. Here, I'll read that.
Yeah, sleeve. I read.
Because I think there's more stuff. Did you check inside the sleeve? Steven Larson, first off, thank you for all that you do. I do a lot of driving from town to town, and when I do, I listen to all of your podcasts. While I do not always agree with you, especially when it comes to Randy Orton, the god of wrestling, I do appreciate your opinions and enjoy your banter. I also owe it to you, because he said there's some stuff right here. There's some Band Mayhem stickers apparently somewhere.
Oh, okay. Maybe this one envelope.
He said, I also owe it to you that I am now fully submerged into New Japan and Ring of Honor. I always kept an eye on it, but you guys really got me watching it on a regular basis to the point that my wife and I now go to at least one show a month, including flying out to Long Beach
for
Strong Style Evolved.
Cool.
In addition, the goal was always to make it to the WWE, but the more and more I watch and enjoy the other products, I am changing my career paths and goals. Now that I've got the thank yous out of the way, moving on to what I sent you. Steve, thank you for being the voice of reason when it comes to that jabroni Adam Mayhem. I made you a sign so that you don't have to. I also threw in a couple stickers and a special one to mark your office trash can. On a more serious note,
oh
I sent
goodness.
You an autograph of two of the best in the business, Bruno and Bobby Heenan.
That's incredible.
I debated long and hard about sending the Bruno autograph, but I came to the conclusion that you are diehard wrestling fans like myself, and every one of us deserves a little Bruno in their life. I hope you enjoy what I sent, and thanks again for giving us the best wrestling podcast on the planet. Sincerely, No Regrets Nate, a.k.a. your friendly neighborhood criminal. Wow.
Thank you so much, Nate. That's incredible.
That is fantastic stuff.
That is awesome.
Look at these stickers right
stickers.
Here.
That's one for the garbage can,
garbage
I guess.
Can right here. Adam
and
Mayhem. That's
says
perfect.
No Adam Mayhems.
No Adam Mayhems.
And Mayhem Prohibited Area.
There you go. Speaking of people who support the show, people that we love, I'm going to go ahead and read off some the final
there you go.
April patrons.
There you go.
I'm going to read them off right now. We had Nathan Fitterer, the Gorilla of Destiny, Michael Beglin, Patrick Wendell, Kirsty, The Mouth, Caleb Lundberg, Misty Tires, Jake Kors, Drafthouse Games, Thomas Quilliam, Matthew Reeves, Zachary Areza, Blue Monkey, Scottish Misfit. I thought I said Scott is H Misfit. Scottish Misfit, Max Smith, Stephen Tufnell, Tom, Justin Sell, Logan DeMolder, Quiet Wyatt, Jeremy Evans, Minnesota Bam Bam, Angel Alvarez, Kristen Mejia, Vinny Elliott, Sean Anderson, Nate Cox, Colin Stipetich, Stephen Justice, Richard Darby, Stephen Stannard, Jokic, Lorzu Lang, Tubbs McAllister, Courtney Summers, William Knowles, Roger Williams, Alejandro Gomez, and that's it for April. So work out it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Anyways. So what now? What are we doing? Oh, questions.
Yeah.
Let's do questions now. Do you have questions?
I do have questions up. First, Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. Should 205 live wrestlers be able to challenge for the UK title? Sure.
Should 205 live wrestlers?
Yeah.
Mark Andrews.
He has,
should.
Right? He has, I thought.
I think he has. He failed.
On NXT.
Noam Dar should be able to. And Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher did at a Progress show.
That's right. He did. So he's out of the picture. So
yes.
The only person left is Noam Dar. And that's it.
Yeah. GM Spud, on May 20th, Pete Dunne will have been UK champion for 1 year. What have been your favorite moments of his reign? Favorite Pete Dunne moments. His match against Tyler Bate when he won the title was great. Their match, the rematch when Dunne was champion at Full Sail was also great.
My favorite, well, besides the Tyler Bate Pete Dunne match, that was my favorite. My second favorite Pete Dunne moment was when Undisputed Era tried to talk crap to Roddy Strong, and Pete Dunne stood up for him, and Kyle O'Reilly said, "How dare you?"
No, the best part is when Pete Dunne grabbed a shoe and chucked it right at Adam Cole's chest.
That's right. Pretty much anything involving the Undisputed Era.
Yes. Dong Diggler.
Dong Diggler.
Who should be the next UK champion, and how should they make it one of the top belts? Now, let's assume that whoever faces Pete Dunne to win this title ultimately wins it, because they got larger things in store for Pete Dunne, which wouldn't surprise me.
Nobody in the first crop of UK tournament guys, in my estimation right now. Well, I don't know. I hear really good things about Zach Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
I heard really good things about him. So I don't know. Maybe him. Joe Hendry. That's who it should
be. Oh, he's not in it.
Joseph Conner. I wonder if Joseph Conner is going to be back in.
Yes, he is. These are the people announced so far. It's Joe Coffey, Zach Gibson, Jack Gallagher's in it, Amir Jordan, Kenny Williams, El Ligero, Dave Mastiff, and Joseph Conner.
Oh, Dave Mastiff's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
So I'll say Dave Mastiff or Joseph Conner's, but I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a bigger, maybe more established name. I'm not sure. I don't know who's going to be in the next batch of names.
I mean, they got a pretty strong card just already announced for these two shows. I mean, on the 18th, you get British Strong Style versus Undisputed Era.
Ooh.
Hopefully it's not a spoiler. It might be a spoiler. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler, anybody.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
No, I think it was listed on the announcement. Yeah, it was from Live Nation for tickets. So, sorry. Thankfully, it's not a spoiler.
The 6-inch Cyclops. Does having wrestlers under 205 pounds on the main roster tarnish the 205 Live brand? Johnny Gargano has an imminent call-up to 205 Live. However, I'd imagine guys like Ricochet and Adam Cole will go to Raw or SmackDown. Are WWE basically telling the Cruiserweights that 205 Live is regarded as less important? There are any number of ways they are telling 205 Live that they're less important.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they're billing Ricochet at 190. They announced that last night.
I still feel like the Cruiserweight division should be something that's on Raw and SmackDown, and then 205, look, they got all this TV money. The 205 Live division should be its own show where you get it's developmental-esque, kind of like NXT, but for Cruiserweights,
mm-hmm.
and then you get called up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you film that at its own venue.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I still think it should be that. And if that were the case, then I think there'd be less of an idea that it's a lesser thing.
Yeah,
it's perceived as a lesser thing because the crowd is always dead. It's taped as if it's an afterthought.
That, and also, too, you get the feeling that you're on 205 Live, you're on 205 Live.
Yeah. There's no moving up.
Yeah, there's no upward mobility from 205 Live.
Yeah. I like the way that it used to be done, where guys who were in cruiserweights, they wouldn't focus so much. Like, that's one of the things about the Buddy Murphy thing, is as funny as it is, it's focusing so exclusively on the weight aspect of it that it... See, I don't mind guys like Finn Balor being up there on the main roster, who are obviously less than 205. But now there needs to be, like, Rey Mysterio. Nobody really questioned it when he went up from cruiserweight to heavyweight. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or even going back to WCW, that was a case where cruiserweights would regularly contend for U.S. title and TV title.
Benoit, Jericho, Guerrero, mm-hmm, exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had Mysterio.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I mean, just how New Japan does it is perfect. If you're in the junior division for a while, and at one point you say, I'm done beating junior, I'm heavyweight now, that's just it.
Yeah.
And then you can move up, and then you can start contending for heavyweight titles.
And I think in Japan there is sort of the... I don't know, because I haven't been watching long enough in terms of, like, you know, like the Young Bucks now, they're moving up to heavyweight, and you see them in the gym all the time and bulking up and cracking jokes about bulking up, and they are getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if you got a guy like, I don't know, how tall do you think Drew Gulak is?
5'10", 5'11".
And how much do you think he weighs? Because he is not bulky at all.
185.
Right, exactly. So he's a fair shot away from 206.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like Cedric Alexander, it seems like he's 5'10", 205.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh,
or
yeah.
204.9, something like that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
They made a huge deal about him dropping weight to make the 205 weight limit.
So when somebody comes up to Maine, if they're going to move up to heavyweight, you kind of need them to be a bit on the believable side against, mm-hmm, you know, bigger opponents,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, guys like Finn Balor have proven to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they can do it a different way that would make sense.
Well, at least they can say, you know, hey, he's put on X number of pounds to move, mm-hmm, to heavyweight division. He doesn't have to put an ounce on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Michael Beglin, who is the better overall heel right now, Tommaso Ciampa or Cody Rhodes?
Well, that's a great question.
I'm going to say Ciampa right now because I think Cody's getting a little bit of a face rub from this All In thing.
I'll put it this way. I think, and it's a tough situation to be in, but Cody gets so much heat that he has to, like, get on social media and say, all right, people, dial it down.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Stop jumping the barricade to come after me.
And there's a part of that, but there's a part of that. Ciampa doesn't do that. And nobody's jumped over the barrier yet for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, like, nobody at Full Sail is going to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if he was on the same circuit that Cody's on, maybe he would get that treatment too.
Yeah, maybe.
If they did that angle wherever Cody's doing his stuff, where people are jumping barriers.
Yeah.
I would give it to Ciampa just kind of out of necessity. Cody has had to sort of dial it because of the All In stuff, and he's promoting a show that's like a DIY show.
Yeah.
That aspect of him, like you said, that's getting him some face.
Well, also the massive success of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's people are appreciating his efforts to put the show on.
And when he's out of character, when he's doing these Sports Illustrated interviews, mm-hmm, on camera, when he's, you know, doing shoot interviews or just interviews or whatever,
yeah.
He's out of character. Ciampa never does that. Ciampa has done everything he can to be completely in character. So in terms, but I kind of think it's by necessity. Like, he's under the umbrella. He can do that. Cody's out there kind of on his own.
Yeah.
He can't really cross certain
it's
lines.
Really 1A, 1B.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think, like, in...
I mean, they're both doing awesome work, yeah.
In ring, I think it's 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nemo, tonight, Nikki Cross tried her hand at both interviewing and being a motivational speaker. What other jobs could Nikki do during or after her career?
She could work at Tim Hortons. Because apparently they have people there that crap on the floor and throw it at people.
Yeah.
And Nikki Cross would just be like, she'd do the same. She'd, like, you know, throw it back.
Yeah, yeah. She'd be the employee that responds with the same thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
CM
Punk finds it insulting. In kayfabe, why doesn't Triple H require Nikki Cross to see a psychiatrist?
He's probably tried, and she's like,
she's probably been to several psychiatrists, and they said, we're not going to see her anymore.
She's passed. Yeah, exactly.
This is an interesting question. Tim Morris, can we see Ricochet and Velveteen Dream become a tag team briefly a la T-Bar? They would put on a fantastic match against Undisputed Era.
That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of interesting. Abdullah the Vegan, judging by the excellent quality of NXT, should WWE consider taping some of their shows and let the wrestlers spend time with their families?
That's not going to happen. So much premium is put on live television, and that's why, if reports are to be believed, their next TV contract just for Raw is going to be massive.
And I honestly believe that is not even close to being the issue with, you know, the issues that main roster shows do have. I don't think taping live is at all their issue. In fact, I actually really like the live aspect of things.
Mm-hmm. Mike Demopoulos, you can only keep one. Adam Cole's trash talk in the ring, Kyle O'Reilly's air guitar, or Roderick Strong's in-ring ability. Which awesome trait of the Undisputed Era do you keep?
What was the first one?
Adam Cole trash talk.
Oh, man. How do you... Look. Here's the email about Kyle O'Reilly. I feel like if we took away the air guitar, he'd come up with something just as innovative.
Yes, yes. Roderick Strong's fantastic in-ring ability is like so essential to what he is as a pro wrestler.
I would never take that away.
You can't get rid of that.
I know. He's so damn good.
Even if Kyle O'Reilly didn't do the air guitar stuff, he would still do the weird flops at weird moments. Yeah. And he'd still be a heck of a lot of fun to watch wrestle.
And he didn't say Adam Cole's promos.
No, just trash talk
just
in ring.
Trash talk in ring.
It's fine.
I'm fine getting rid of that.
Yeah, no, you got to keep.
As long as I keep his promos.
You got to keep Roderick Strong's in ring ability.
Yeah, that's got to stay. AJ Fate says, he says, Alien Invasion.
All right.
Take a male wrestler and a female wrestler to help fight them off. He says his picks are Suzuki and Baszler. Who would you pick?
Yeah, Suzuki.
Okay, so similar to yesterday's question, uh-huh, being on a desert island.
Yeah.
I would take Sarah Logan because she's actually hunted before.
Yeah.
So you put a weapon, a projectile weapon in her hands.
So you take Braun then too.
She'll know how to use it, and Braun because he's proficient with guns.
See, Minoru Suzuki has a couple of weapons right here.
That's not
at the ends of his legs and his feet.
No.
He doesn't need projectile weapons. He is a weapon.
No, man.
So give me Minoru Suzuki.
He's also old, and he'll probably turn on you.
That's fine.
So unpredictable.
That's fine, man.
You're just saying that because you love Minoru Suzuki.
Minoru Suzuki.
Stop saying that.
As far as a woman, I'll say Asuka for similar reasons. She seemed like that she's a weapon in and of herself.
They're just going to be making fun of you in their native language.
She can just dole out all sorts of destruction.
Can we ask Karen what useless is in Japanese?
Sure.
Because you're going to need to learn that word. They're going to be pointing at you and
That's
saying
fine.
That
That's
word.
That's fine. It's fine.
You can't sit there fangirling while the aliens are attacking Larson.
No, I'm not. I'll be the one with the firearms, but they don't need firearms.
Oh, my God. You with the firearm sounds terrifying. Like, not good for you.
Yeah.
Good for the aliens, not good for you.
Okay. I mean, if these aliens have any sort of advanced weaponry, what hope do we have with our mere projectile weapons?
Probably none. Wouldn't that be crazy if that's how we all went out? Be an alien invasion?
No.
That'd be insane. Could happen.
It could. I mean, it's more likely that we'll just make the Earth inhabitable.
Yeah, probably.
That's a more likely scenario.
What if the aliens are doing that?
Making the Earth inhabitable?
Yeah.
That's quite a conspiracy theory you just conjured up there.
We'll talk about that more on Truth Exposed.
Truth Exposed, whenever that happens.
Oh, that'll happen. Let's see here.
Secretly Sami Zayn, would an NXT Money in the Bank be a good thing? If so, who should be in it and who should win it?
Be a great thing, and it should be Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, that's a good
pick. Imagine how mellow his cash-in would be. I love when he does the...
Oh, I know.
It's the best thing. That is the best thing.
Mr. Lipkin Unlimited, one of the things I miss most about DIY is their theme song. I freaking love it, and I'm sad I don't get to hear it on NXT anymore. What is the theme that you are sad that you don't get to hear on TV anymore? HBK's theme, man.
Oh, for me, it's Drew McIntyre's NXT theme. It really bums me out. I like that theme a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I miss that we don't really get to hear Bullet Club much anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's got their own thing, and it's annoying.
I know, you don't really hear Bullet Club theme.
I hate that. Everybody that's Bullet Club should come out the Bullet Club theme.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an iconic song. I'm kind of upset I don't get to hear Real Rock, Real Rock.
Yes. There's no, like, beat to the weird vocal things of you.
It's arrhythmic. It's very experimental.
Baron the Cat Taxidermist. WWE loves their color schemes. Raw is red. NXT is yellow and black, et cetera, et cetera. With that in mind, what do you think the color scheme should be for the UK division if they finally get their own show? Black and white, baby. Black and freaking white. That would be great.
All right. Yeah, I can't think of anything better.
Oh, wow. Great question. Mm. Undisputed Friendo Logdats. Power Rank theme songs worse than Mark Andrews.
I don't think a song is that bad.
There's not very many. That might be the worst of them all.
Was it Wesley Blake that had like the...
That was terrible.
The downbeat chill song?
That was awful.
The Vaudevillains?
Oh. Yeah, but the Vaudevillains was kind of catchy. It just was terrible for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Real rock and roll.
This song was all over the place.
It really was. Oh, good question. Chuck, what is his name? Chuck the Bipartisan Gamer something.
Sips.
Thank you. When, if ever, do we get to see Drake Maverick's debut in a WWE
That's a good question.
Ring? I would love to see that. Yeah. I want that to happen.
Yeah, me too. We saw him wrestle at a Progress show WrestleMania weekend in Orlando. And that was a fun match, even though he almost broke his neck at one point.
Yeah, I know. No, it was a lot of fun. That was rad. Last question here from Tommy Cat. True or false, EC3 will appear on the main roster after SummerSlam. It feels true. It feels kind of true. I feel like they're just doing what they're doing with him to get him to main.
That could be.
Kind of feels
He's nowhere near any title picture right now.
Nope.
Nope. That could be. That could be.
I haven't looked at spoilers, so I don't know.
If that's the case, why not just bring him up after Mania then?
His first match was the takeover before Mania.
Yeah, the ladder match.
I feel like they needed, it's probably just a matter of timing. Like they needed him to get reps in the WWE system.
Maybe.
And so that's probably going to be why.
Maybe.
Come on, I mean, before that, he was an Impact dude.
Well,
it's not exactly a WWE way of doing
things. I know, but it was a reasonably professionally run production.
And he was in NXT like way back.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he wouldn't be able to handle it. They just probably want to get people reacquainted with him. And it doesn't take that long to do that.
Could be.
But yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Anyways. Are you ready?
Yep.
To close the show with some outro music.
Hit the music, Hilton.
Wake up! Okay, he's good.
Anyway. Well, I mean, he's awake.
He's awake.
Good.
And he ran the music. Good. I don't know. Is he going to be at StarCast with us?
To be determined.
All right. Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.